guess we're done.
That was a short one this morning. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody, and we want to welcome you on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. And we're glad to be with you today since we were on vacation last Sunday. And I want to thank Brad and Carrie and the fine work. I heard Carrie gave a good sermon on hymns, and I was teasing her about that, and she goes, "I don't ever want to do that again." I'm like, you did fine. I mean, all those years of teaching and curriculum and administration, all that in the schools. But we are so glad to see all of you, and we want to welcome you today. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing our series on Wisdom for Living. And we hope that that series has been a blessing to all of you in very practical ways. And so as we begin our service, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship there in your bulletin. Sing God's praise.
We give thanks to the Lord above.
Seek the Lord and trust in God's grace.
We proclaim God's wonderful works.
Live in the spirit of faith, hope, and love.
We give thanks for Christ's marvelous
blessings. Well, let's sing about that this morning. And we can turn into our hymn books to 392. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, Showers of Blessing, all four verses this morning. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. The hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come down and honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for, let's sing the refrain again. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. let's join together there in your bulletin for our opening prayer. Gracious God, when all seems lost, you come to our aid and give us strength to carry on. Set our minds on you that we may know your abiding presence and your never-failing love through Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and you can turn in your hymn books if you'd like to 209 or on the PowerPoint here, and we're going to be singing just the first and fifth verse of Our God Reigns this morning. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Good news announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Out of the tomb, He came with grace and majesty. Yes, we know He is alive. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Let's sing Our God Reigns again. More time, this time sing He's Alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Thank you for singing that with us. That's always one of my favorites, and I apologize. I think there was an extra Our God Reigns there on the PowerPoint, which I don't understand because it came from the website of the author who wrote this song. So, whatever. Well, let me invite the kids to come down this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning? Come on. That's good. I love it having everybody here today. All right. How's everybody been doing? I missed you last week, those of you that were here. Yeah. Are you sleepy? That's like the second or third time you've yawned all day this morning. What is up? Can I shake you a little bit when you wake up? Start falling asleep. You'll start being like the adult who fall asleep in the church. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to say that, was I? Oh, I love, you should see some of the facial expressions on the kids. Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you ever want something really bad, but you didn't have the money to buy it?
No, I wouldn't.
Or maybe you kept asking mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, and they're like, no, we can't give it to you right now. That's never happened to you? it's nice to
Well,
hear
Dad, it's what you told me to develop it on my birthday.
Wow. I might have to come over to your house for your birthday. Yeah, but I'd like all that. Now, what about kids that don't have? You ever thought about that?
You can ask.
Ah. But what something. About sometimes if it's just hard enough just to get food to eat?
You can ask.
I know we can ask. Yes, we can.
Ask and use our money.
But what about in countries where it's so poor that to get food is hard sometimes? See, we don't really understand that, do we? It's hard for us sometimes because we have a lot of things, don't we? Usually we get what we ask for. Now, some of you said maybe not at times, and I understand that. We say no to chase at times. But what about in countries where they just don't have much? That seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when sometimes kids, and there are places where kids don't get enough to eat. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we don't always realize that because we don't live in those countries. We live here where we have all kinds of things. But you know what? When we care about the poor, God takes notice. In fact, there's a scripture that I'm going to read for the adults later on that says when we give to help the poor, when somebody doesn't have enough to eat, that it's like we are helping God. Think about that. Jesus told a parable that talked about that. That says when you give a cup of cold water to somebody that's thirsty, or you give them some food, or you help them with some clothes when they don't have that much clothes, it's like we're doing it to Jesus. And He does not forget that. He remembers. And that's an important thing to remember as we grow older and become adults and have our own jobs and make our own money, how important it is to help people in need. And maybe sometimes we can start that now with maybe a friend at school. I lost my pencil. And I don't have one. Too bad. Too bad. So, wait a minute. I got an extra pencil. Here, you can have my extra pencil. That's just little ways now we can help out, can't we? And that's just by doing something kind and nice for them, even at school. Alright? So don't forget, it's like helping and touching God when we do that, or Jesus. Okay, you can go on downstairs this morning. You've got a bunch of them there, Miss Carrie. Yes. Well, we want to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern this morning to share with us before we go to prayer. And so we'll give you a chance to share that this morning. Somebody this morning. Yes. Thank God for that. Okay, so the foster family with the loss, Jack, who I had not heard about that. Yeah. And then I missed the name of the one you were talking about had, if I understood right, heart problems.
Yeah, it's Elaine Meyer's son-in-law, Matt.
Matt? Max or Matt? Okay. Okay. So we want to remember Matt and Jack in our prayers then this morning. Some others. Yeah.
Our prayers need to go out to the Baldwin family. Richard Baldwin passed away.
So we want to remember the Baldwin family. Somebody else. Yes. If you didn't hear what he said, he was thanking the church for their kindness and prayers for the to their family during all this time. And it's good to see Mary here this morning and the rest of them too. I don't want to leave them out either. Yeah, Smoke, you know, you matter too. He knows what I'm talking about. Yes, he does. And it seems strange not seeing their faces out there every Sunday. So, yes, go ahead. Unspoken, yes. And I thought I saw another hand back there. Maybe I missed it.
I enjoy walking up this morning and old friends, Tom and Beth.
Good, and it's good to have you guys with us. I know their grandson. Yes, and yes, when I saw him right away, but it's good to have you guys with us this morning. Yeah, yeah, what a blessing that is. Others, anybody else, joys or concerns this morning?
Yeah. Do we have an update on the book at Genie? Do we know? Sorry, the book it? Do we have an update on the book
it? Yep. No, we'll get it all taken care of. Did I see a hand? Yes, go ahead.
Just for my dad, he is taking more care of mom now, and his stress level has increased. He also has fallen over the last week. And then also for my mom, we've had to hide the car keys, and she's showing more signs of dementia. So,
yep, and many families understand that concern always, and so asking for prayers for Bruce and Carol, and appreciate that for them this morning. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? I'm glad to hear that about Jean. After a couple days we got back, I was talking to somebody and asking how she was doing, and they said she was doing much, much better. So I was glad to hear about that. Also, keep our young people. I know we have some that are going to be at the Champaign County Fair this week, and keep them and their families in your prayers as they are going to be working with their animals and their projects and everything that they have going on. And we always keep those young people and families in our prayers, because that was always a thing that I did growing up through 4-H and FFA. And I was thinking there was something else, and I cannot remember. But anybody else then this morning? Okay. You see some of the names that have been mentioned, and maybe if a few of those names come to your mind, while she plays there quietly, you can pray and lift them up to the Lord in your seats, and then I will come and close us out in prayer then. Thank you. as we pause today and lift up our thanks and our prayers. We are thankful that you hear us when we pray. And as we were just lifting up various names to you, Lord, in the quiet of our seats, we're grateful that Jesus taught us to bring our petitions to the Father, our Heavenly Father, in His name, and that you would work and bring glory. And we pray, Lord, today for those that have been mentioned. Each of them, Lord, we lift up to you. We think about the Foster family and the Baldwin family, God, asking for your grace and your peace and your strength right now for them. We think about Jack with these fractures, and for Matt with his health issues, God, we lift them up to you. We lift up Bruce and ask for strength, and Carol for strength in her mind, Lord. God, we just pray for each of them as we lift them up, and we pray for your touch, your grace, and your healing hand that will be with them. Lord, we also lift up our young people that'll be at the Champaign County Fair. Lord, that you'll just watch over them and their families and keep them safe, Lord, and help them to have a wonderful week with all the hard work that they put in with their projects and everything. Lord, we also lift up the unspoken need that was mentioned today. God, we know that you know that need, and we just ask that you would meet it. And maybe if there was others today that did not share for whatever reason, or maybe a need that they spoke and lifted up to you during our prayer quiet time, God, that you would meet that need and work in the only way that you can. And Lord, we ask that you will extend faith and strength and courage, and Lord, especially inner strength, as we talked about a few weeks ago in the message, that you will extend inner strength into each of us, that we might continue to carry on through whatever we face in life, whether it's the inner complexities of our lives or the external circumstances that we might be facing, that your grace and your strength would be with us through it all. And we're grateful and thankful for those things today. And we pray for your blessing upon the rest of our service. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, may you speak to our hearts. May you build faith in our hearts and challenge us and encourage us in the way that we should go, in the way of wisdom. And we're grateful and thankful for that today. And Lord, I do lift up others that might be traveling or on vacation, God, that you'll continue to watch over our people during those times and bring them back safely to be with us. And we're thankful and grateful for all of those things. And Lord, we thank you for your presence that's real to us today. As we lift up all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. You've heard me say this Many times I believe that when we agree in prayer as touching God about something, that God, it works and God moves in different ways. Maybe not always the way we want it, but God works and does things, and especially in God's time. So, well, we have the opportunity now to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, let me say thank you for your faithfulness. It's your continued giving that continues the ministry here at our local congregation, and also then reaching out into our community and beyond. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. God, bless the gifts we bring before you, that they may be signs of your loving kingdom to a world awaiting good news. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from various places again in the book of Proverbs. And you can follow along there on the PowerPoint this morning as we look at them from chapter 3 and chapter 11 and chapter 19 and chapter 21 and chapter 29. Various wisdom aspects for our lives. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Her, meaning wisdom's, her profit is better than silver, and her gain better than gold. Her value exceeds pearls. All you desire can't compare with her. Her ways are pleasant, and her paths are peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who hold her tight are happy. The Lord laid the foundations of the earth with wisdom, establishing the heavens with understanding. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, "Come back tomorrow and then I'll help you." A town is uplifted by the blessing of the just, but brought down by the mouth of the corrupt. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but being gracious to the needy honors him. Those who are kind to the poor are making loans to God, and God will repay them for their goodness. Those who refuse to hear the pleas of the oppressed will themselves cry out and be ignored. The faithful care about justice for the poor, but the corrupt have no such concern. That is God's word for us today, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I usually like to share something funny as I begin. And 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen with his mother as they were making supper. She asked him to go to the pantry and get a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go in there alone because it was dark. "It's dark in there and I'm scared." So she asked again and he persisted. Finally, she said, "It's okay. Jesus is with you in there." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside and he saw it was dark and started to leave when all of a once he had this idea. And so he turned back around and looked in and said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you please hand me a can of tomato soup?" We've been talking about wisdom for living. I hope that this series has been helpful and practical to you. I know as I have been working through it and thinking about these passages, which I used to read almost consistently all the time through the Proverbs, I was reminded about so many of these things and some of them that I had forgotten. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the nature of our inner selves and considered the wisdom of a strong inner spirit that helps us face the complexities not only of our lives and our inner selves and all the things that we sometimes face inwardly, especially when facing a broken or crushed spirit, but also just of the circumstances of everyday life. Today, we are going to look at a different subject that is prevalent throughout the wisdom literature and Proverbs. In fact, is found through all throughout the Bible. Much of our thinking on it as Americans comes from which political side we happen to believe and fall into. Whether you're a conservative or a progressive or liberal, whatever terminology you want to use, Republican, Democrat, or whatever. The problem with that is not biblical thinking. That is American political thinking. So what does God have to say about the issue of justice? And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the wisdom of justice as shalom. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But our Last reading that we read there this morning sets the tone for our message. The just uphold the rights of the oppressed or the poor or the needy, depending on how you translate it. But the corrupt only care about themselves. That's a tough statement, isn't it? A tough saying. Many people believe that justice is about people getting what they deserve or what's coming to them. But that is only a very small snippet found in the Bible. Because God sees justice in a different way, and the wisdom of justice is about shalom, wholeness, well-being, harmony, peace. And so we're going to talk about that here this morning, and I hope that this will help us get a different perspective, almost from a different perspective. Sometimes, you know, sometimes in the church we talk about giving and giving to receive and giving to help those in need and all of that. But you're going to get a different perspective of why Scripture talks about that this morning. And it comes from the wisdom tradition here. And so let's begin by, we're going to look at two things here. And let's begin by looking at the first one, and that's this. Creation was made for wholeness. Or if you want to say, creation was made for shalom. For shalom. Listen to chapter 3, verses 17 and 19 again. Wisdom's ways are pleasant. All her paths are shalom, peaceful, about wholeness, about well-being. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And then it goes on to talk about how God laid the foundation of the world and creation in that wisdom. Wisdom is pleasant, peaceful, life-giving. And God uses wisdom in God used wisdom in making our world. And I want us to see then out of that three aspects of this shalom. Why did God make the world? God made the world for shalom. If you go back and read Genesis 1 and 2, you see how God made things good. God, very good, it says over and over again. And that there was wholeness and there was this well-being and peace and harmony and all of that aspect there. And if God is doing that for us and for creation, then what does that entail? Well, let's look at it this way. Shalom involves physical harmony. Physical harmony. God created everything to work in harmony together. In fact, we are told in Psalm 102 that creation and human beings have been made like a garment. Now think about that for a minute. Some of you are sewers. Some of you know how to put garments together and make them. We have some of our kids that had 4-H projects where they sewed together a dress or whatever. Maybe you grew up and did that and that are going to be presenting them. I know some had already presented them for the state fair this year already. What is it about that? Now, if we go back further, so in Bible days, they couldn't just walk down to the local market, although they probably could, and just get an already made pretty thing and have lots of them. Some of them just got material or they got thread from their goats. How many of you got goats? How many of you go out every morning and gather the hair off your goats and you're going to start putting it together to make a dress? Where were we, Jody? I can't remember. Where were we where we saw materials made out of goat hair? I can't remember offhand. Yeah. Or alpaca or whatever. You know, that sounds weird and odd, doesn't it? But all that goes together to make that material before we get it into our hands. And it's letting us know that God made creation and us. He knit and weaved us together in harmony and interdependence. But Psalm 102 also talks about how human beings wear out like a garment. So think of it this way. While we're young and everything is working well, guess what? We're happy. We're working in harmony. We run. We play. We work hard. We make a living. We get married and all of that. But when we're sick or injured or threatened, or as we grow older, guess what we lose little by little? We lose abilities. And that affects our shalom, our wholeness, our well-being. I don't know, is that why we get grumpier as we get older? It's okay, you can laugh. You know me, it's not an insult. Don't take it the wrong way. You know, I joke about that. When I first pastored, I you know how young pastors are. They're gung-ho, they're excited. You know, they can't slow down. They want to go. They want to change things. They want to make changes. You know, and then you face people that they don't want to change anything. They want to do this or do that. And now as I've gotten older, guess what I don't want to do? I don't want to change things. It's so easy. I'm comfortable with certain things being the way they are. There's physical harmony that happens, and God made us in shalom so that everything's working together. And this is a whole other sermon, and I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to just mention it. Why do you think Jesus came? He came not only to give us eternal life, which deals with our bodies breaking down and resurrection bodies, but He wants to give us wholeness and peace and all of that in our lives so we live with a sense of purpose and meaning and not distortion and disharmony and everything else. So there's a physical aspect to that. Shalom involves an inner harmony. You know, when our reason and emotions and conscience are all working together, when our inward nature is working in harmony, we experience shalom. But as some of you know, and as I know, when things start getting a little out of kilter, we don't have that inner peace. We don't have that inner harmony. Things aren't working just the way we want them to. And I mean, you know, what happens when our emotions want one thing and our conscience says, no, don't do that? There's a conflict there. And we all of a sudden don't feel at peace. And when we experience that unraveling of inner harmony, then that's what ends up resulting in all kinds of issues, like anxiety and conflict and frustrations and jealousy and envy and all these different things that we face and battle. And God made us for shalom, to be in harmony, to be at peace. And yes, this is not some New Age guru thinking, so don't get that in your mind. But also, shalom involves social harmony. Social harmony. God created us for social harmony so our communities and our neighborhoods would care for each other and work for the common good. That way, our communities and our neighborhoods and our own families would flourish where we live. But guess what? As we all know, when there's a breakdown in shalom and harmony and common good, guess what begins to take over? Crime. Injustice, greed, exploitation. And that becomes a more common way of life And shalom is lost. You know, some people want to talk about what's wrong with the world or what's wrong with my friends or whatever it may be, or America or whatever. I can tell you what's wrong. We're losing our shalom, what God had made us, intended for us. So what is all this about? What's wisdom wanting to do with all of this? Wisdom is about justice, and justice is about restoring shalom. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came into the world to bring shalom, to restore shalom, not only between God and us, but between all of us and creation, because God made everything. Jesus understood that the world, all creation, everything we live, that, why? Let me ask you a question. If we poison our rivers, if we poison everything in our environment, who's going to be affected by that? Yes, we are. Our bodies. And that's because things are not because they were created to work in harmony together. And that's why God is about restoring shalom. And that's what justice involves, restoring wholeness, well-being, and harmony. So let's look at this and from our passages there. First of all, the wisdom of justice includes doing good. Let me read verses 27 and 28 from chapter 3. Don't withhold good from someone who needs it when it is in your power to do so. Don't say to your neighbor, go ahead and come back. I'll give it to you tomorrow. What's that saying? That's saying when we see the unraveling of shalom before our very eyes. And let me tell you, we had a good time on vacation, but when we were in Nashville and I can't remember the other town we went to. Memphis, yes, thank you, everybody else. When we were in Nashville and Memphis, I never saw so many people sleeping on the streets, laying in front of the doors that go into our hotel room. It was sad. My heart was breaking. It was so overwhelming, I didn't even know what to do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, how do we even tackle this? How do we even try to deal with this? So when we see shalom unwrap, that's the unraveling of shalom. That's the result of the unraveling of shalom. When we see that happening, part of our responsibility and obligation is to act in just and fair and honest ways by doing good. It's funny, when we were down there, Chase made a comment about something, and I said, that's Southern hospitality. I said, they may not like you, and they'll still show you Southern hospitality because it's been ingrained in them, because they were raised to treat people that way. And I think what the wisdom of this proverb is saying is don't miss the opportunities to do good when we have them. If we wait, we might miss it. So part of God's way, and Jesus taught this, Paul taught this, all the New Testament writers taught it, about doing good and making a difference in people's lives. It's because it's about restoring shalom when we see the unraveling of it. And why is that? Because the wisdom of justice is for community. That's what God cares about. He cares. You know, we often think of things individualistically, but Scripture thinks of things wholly, together, communities, families, the people of God, the people of Israel, all of these groups. And then John 3:16 is the famous one. The whole world. God thinks about the whole world. Listen to this, 11:11. A town is uplifted by the blessing of the just. Why are we here? That, you know, that's the first thing I ask when I read that verse. Why are we here? The just, the righteous, faithful citizens are those willing to look out for the welfare and good of their community. Why? Because the proverb tells us they extend blessing. They're there to extend blessing so that the community might be lifted up and thrive. Such justice is at the heart of restoring shalom. So as I just asked that question a moment ago, what kind of people, what kind of churches would we have to be for people out there in our communities to rejoice because we're here? Would the community, would the Miami School District miss us if this church wasn't here all of a sudden? Maybe I should make you think of it that way. And why is all that? I mean, it's involved with this doing good. It's about community, but there's another aspect there to it. And you probably picked it up when we read through the scriptures. The wisdom of justice identifies with the poor. Why? Because God identifies with the poor. Let me read it again. 14:31. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but being gracious to the needy honors him. Those who are gracious to the poor lend to the Lord, and the Lord will fully repay them. The faithful uphold justice for the poor. The corrupt care only for themselves. In other words, all these verses are saying God identifies with the poor, listen to this, to the extent of how we treat the poor is how we are treating God. Jesus tells this in his famous parable from Matthew 25. If you give a cup of cold water, if you give clothes, food, when I was naked, and the people that are standing there saying, Jesus, when did we do all this? He said, you do it to me when you done it to them, to those in need. Now, all I'm saying is keep up what we're doing as a community of faith. We have so many outreaches, so many ministries that we are trying to help in so many ways. And let me just encourage you that that is the ministry that God has called us to continue to do. And when we extend mercy, show favor to those in need, those oppressed, we are giving to God. And let me tell you, God will make good on it. Because justice is about shalom, wholeness, well-being, harmony, peace, promoting and maintaining and restoring what God had always intended for our world. And during his ministry on earth, Jesus identified and stood with the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized and the forgotten and stood for peace. Jesus ministered this way because he knew God had made everything for shalom. It's interesting, and I just jotted these down at the last second into my sermon. Paul says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. And that is what Jesus and Paul is trying to get us to see through all of this and the wisdom writers. This is the wisdom of justice as shalom. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a few minutes and shake a couple hands of those beside you and greet one another, and then we'll close out with our little chorus, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Stand if you can as we sing together 214. I love you, Lord. We'll sing it through twice. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in one. Let's join together for our benediction. This week, the Holy Spirit is breathing with us. May the deep love of God never let us go. The friendship of Christ hold us steady. And the company of the Spirit fill us with strength and courage to face each day. Amen.